Welcome to Hubbub, the People's Podcast, where we engage our citizens and investors with the activities of the Planning and Code Administration and encourage everyone to contribute to Hagerstown's growth.
Well, welcome to another edition of the Hubbub Podcast. It's September 2021. It's a beautiful day, right, Donnie Harkham?
Yep, we are outside today for our September episode of the Hubbub Podcast. I'm pretty excited for this one. How about you?
Yeah, and it couldn't have a better day. It's so beautiful.
Beautiful, absolutely.
So why are we doing this today?
It's a good question. Do you like to walk?
Yeah.
Me too.
When it's pleasant.
When it's nice out, like a day like today?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Yeah, so really the whole basis or premise for our podcast today is we're discussing where you see us, places that are walkable in our communities, and a lot of communities have them. When we say walkability, and that's really a popular term, certain areas of government when it comes to planning, and you may hear it, but what is walkability? Is it that important? Well, the focus of our podcast today is just that. We're going to really see how walkability really is an integral part of keeping communities healthy in a number of ways. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're here in Hagerstown, of course, we're on the cultural trail, and we'll discuss some aspects of that. And the thing about it is, as many communities, if you're not in Hagerstown, a lot of communities, again, have them. And they're really, really important. And so we really, I think we're certain in saying that once we're done with this podcast, you're going to look at you know, cultural trails and walkability in your communities in a different way.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to look at things in a way that you never thought of them before. You know, they were actually designed a certain way and for a reason.
Absolutely. So, yeah, look forward to talking about this.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. And did you know that walking is the oldest and simplest form of human transportation? I didn't know that, but it makes sense. You know, we were born with these two legs, so that's how we get moving. But however, nowadays, walking a few blocks or crossing a street, you know, it can seem inconvenient sometimes. So how do we make an urban environment walkable? Well, that's what today's podcast is about. And, you know, as I've mentioned multiple times on the podcast, is a lot of these terms I've never heard of. I thought it was a joke. I just thought it was just a made up word. Walkability. What is that? Yeah. You know, never heard of it before. But walkability is a new term to describe how friendly a city or a neighborhood is to pedestrian activity. Walkable communities are defined as the persons, as far as the persons are considered, not their automobiles. You know, at the center of their design scale. So it's all centered around us, not the vehicles. And when designing these communities around the human foot, places are created to be socially, environmentally, and economically vibrant, as you'll see in our cultural trail today.
Yeah, yeah. Good points. You know, because walking, that used to be the only way to get around.
Right.
And yeah, it wasn't the most efficient.
No.
That's why we have other forms of transportation. But we still can't take away from the efficiency of getting around, because when you walk, you can see a whole different environment than if you didn't.
Right. And sometimes it is easier to walk, you know?
Absolutely. You know, what makes it efficient is that it's the cheapest way to get around, isn't it?
Right.
Just the energy that you put one foot in front of the other.
Exactly.
To get where you're going. So, you know, it's efficient. But it also provides other opportunities as well for communities to be able to, you know, plan, design, build these walkable trails and communities, and it just opens up another many more opportunities.
Right.
So when we look at more urban areas, that's where they're really, really popular. And what they do is they just offer a lot of what we would call sustainability, both natural and economic. As an example, having walkability addresses things like social issues and even economic problems. Because think about it, if you have an urban community and you drive everywhere you go, how do you really get to know people around you?
That's a good point.
Yeah, but if there are communities that encourage this and can support walkability, you're doing things more sociable. So that's a big positive. And then that leads to a lot of other positive things. It just makes good morale. We were made to be, we're social people.
Right.
Right. We may say to ourselves, oh, people, they're the worst, right? But really, we're made to be social. We want to naturally be around people for the most part. So we have that social interaction. We have the physical fitness aspect of it. And then, you know, you think about this, what makes walkability kind of supportive for the community is that the more you have a presence of people walking, then that's going to diminish the negative things such as crime.
You're absolutely correct. And those
things that we really don't want to see present in our community. It improves health naturally. Mm-hmm. You know how often sometimes people go to the doctor and the doctor says, you need to walk every day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we have walkability in our communities, it doesn't make it just walking, but it makes it an enjoyable walking, as we'll talk about a little bit later. So, you know, it keeps us healthy. When you have walkability, it opens up other opportunities for jobs. People may be more prone to take jobs locally because they can get there more efficiently. Some people just don't have vehicles, so it'd be nice to have a job that's they could walk to, right? So, you know, and this term walkability, I said, you know, it's new and it's something we don't hear about, but in principle, it's been around for a long time. And granted, in some areas of the United States, it's more popular than others, but in other parts of the world, it's very, very popular. It's been around forever. I mean, a lot of countries, think about Denmark and the Netherlands, they really focus on pedestrian accessibility, whether it be bridges, you know, elevated walkways, because there's a safety aspect of that too. So, yeah, there's a lot of communities. I know you've been to Europe and other parts of Europe, as I have, and, you know, you have some areas that you can't even drive a car.
Right.
Because it's set aside for walking or bicycling.
Yeah.
Because they recognize the value.
You do bring up a good point. And like you mentioned, I did spend some time a few years in Europe, and there were places where you would just be walking, you know, where you would expect vehicles to be, but there were no vehicles. But it just added to the community and the atmosphere of having a city that is more walkable, you know, and that's great. But what would come into play as far as what would make a city less walkable? You know, what are those factors? Well, one of those is the arrival of the automobile took away from the walkability factor for a lot of areas. You know, massive investments were made into the highway systems. You know, when you're putting all this money into the highway, you want to make sure that it is being used. And with the increase of vehicles, you know, less people were walking. You know, unfortunately, most of our cities are built around automobiles and actually discourages people from walking. That is unfortunate, but that is, you know, the reality of things. Yeah. And second, the land outside the city is more affordable and offers a blank slate for development. As a result, decentralization of metropolitan population and centers of employment to suburban locations, increased travel to work, school, and other daily tasks, and subsequently, people become largely dependent on their automobile. It keeps going back to the automobiles. Mm. And, you know, this can be seen in cities across the world, which has begun to recognize and address this problem. You know, we're kind of going back in time in some of these places. They're realizing how important walkability is, and they want to increase that in their communities.
Yeah, good point. It's almost like we're going back. Hey, remember when we used to walk?
Exactly.
So, you know. Yeah, good points. So, of course, Donnie talked about what walkability isn't, basically. Mm-hmm. What is walkability?
Yeah, that's what I really want to know.
Yeah, well, we're here to tell you. Yeah, so nice thing about this is we had the opportunity to kind of see for ourselves what walkability is. So, you know, in preparing for this podcast, we were able to go out and visit a few places. Yes. That really were nice examples of what we're talking about. And I think it was really fun. What was your impression?
It was a lot of fun. You know, similar to our previous episode with food trucks, the research was the best part.
Yeah, it was really neat. So we were able to visit a few places. One place that we visited was a place called Rio in Gaithersburg. Mm-hmm. It's not too far from here, but it was really cool. Right off I-270,
yep.
Just a short drive. So it was easy to get to, but wow, what an environment. Yeah, I was impressed.
Yeah, it really took you away from, you know, made you seem like you were a lot further away than you really were. You know, remind me of a boardwalk type area, which you might get into explaining, but is a just very good environment.
Yeah, and as we'll talk about, one thing about Rio is that it separated, you know, we were talking about walkability and the driving aspect. So it's not taking driving out of the equation because we still need that. But now how can we introduce these elements of walkability and make it really, really pleasant. And Rio did a nice job with that and other places, as we'll talk about, because once you went into the area, there were no signs of driving hardly. You know, it was just pretty much walking and so forth. And this is really, this area of Gaithersburg is really a premier shopping and dining destination. A lot of very, very few chain restaurants, a lot of privately owned or, you know, kind of one of a kind. And really, it was an ideal location. You wouldn't know it. This just a little step off of I-70 and you've got this little oasis of a community there. So it was really, really nice. An open air, you could park, you could eat, of course, work there as well. If you go to their website, there's a lot of good information, more than we could share with anybody. But Rio, according to their website, is 760,000 square feet of Main Street retail, restaurant, and entertainment in Gaithersburg, Maryland, including Target, Pier 1 Imports, Barnes & Noble, Dick's Sporting Goods, and a newly renovated AMC Dine-In Theaters. So, you know, a lot to offer. So you kind of stroll through there in between the shops and restaurants, and you get to the point where there's like this huge water feature. Mm-hmm. You can even get paddle boats.
Yeah.
That was pretty interesting.
You wanted to do that, but I wasn't on board for all that. This is one of those places, like you mentioned, there weren't a lot of chain restaurants, which nothing wrong with chain restaurants, but, you know, sometimes you want something different. And I feel like you'd have to get a little bit of something from each spot to really try it all out, because there was that much down there. It was a very nice place. And then right around the corner, we went down to the Downtown Crown, is what they call it. Still in Gaithersburg. You could walk there if you really wanted to. But a bunch of shops and restaurants, is a very busy place. You know, we hit there right around lunchtime. Mm-hmm. So people were on their lunch break, about to grab some food, which is very cool. You know, the area brings four distinctive neighborhoods to form one connected community. You know, they had condos, they had flats, they had three different sized townhomes, and also single family homes. And Crown offers, you know, all kinds of different homes of a lifestyle. And it's pretty neat because the streets and parks at Crown are named after some of the most creative and talented people in history. You know, we got Ernest Hemingway, Jane Goodall, and Jimi Hendrix. So, very cool place. If you got a chance while you're in Gaithersburg, definitely try out Downtown Crown.
Yeah, yeah. And what was impressive is, you know, we were talking about walkability, and that includes the element of, okay, if you're walking through a destination or whatever, or, you know, because this was such a large area, now what you're trying to do is get from one spot to another.
Right.
And you didn't have to guess. So the way everything's designed is in a way that you can basically follow a path.
Right.
And it kind of directs you. You really don't need a map.
No. No.
If you're just out for exploring.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah. So another place we visited was an area called Gentlands. That was kind of neat. What this was a community. It kind of looked old. But it wasn't. It was new.
Right. It had all your, you know, up-to-date restaurants, retail locations. But the way it was laid out was a little bit different.
Yeah, yeah. And it was interesting. You know, part of what makes a community walkable is, you know, you can do all the things that are needed. You can live, work, and play. And that's the way this was designed. So you had this kind of little urban walkable environment. And then, you know, feet away, you had a residential community.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it made it really convenient. So, you know, their role was to bring back the traditional living. So back in the day, you know, going back several decades, a traditional community was, you know, you had alleys running between the homes. Mm-hmm. So you had the front of your homes and it was all pleasant and nice. But in the back, that's where your garage was. That's where the trash trucks picked up. So it was able to maintain that nice appearance in the right. streets. And so they were going back to that, which was really, really cool.
Neat.
I was impressed by the different designs that they had for houses. I mean, everything from contemporary, traditional, and design. So, yeah, that was really, really interesting. And that development just began in 1988 and contains a lot of buildings that were also just originally there, that part of that Kentlands area. So it was a nice variety of downtown and being able to live as well. They even, you know, introduce which part of walkability is easy access to parks and open spaces,
mm-hmm.
you know, those peaceful areas. Because so, those are important for people, as well as other things that communities just need to survive and flourish. Churches, clubhouses, pools, you know, things that, places you can play, recreate. So all of those things are included just to make a nice environment.
Yeah, I really like that area. And like you mentioned, how different it was compared to the previous two stops we were on. You know, that's those were the three stops we made in Gaithersburg, which we had a really good time. But then we came a little bit closer to home, to Frederick, Maryland, and we went to the Carroll Creek area. Carroll Creek Park began as a flood control project in the late 70s. This was an effort to remove downtown Frederick from the 100-year floodplain and restore economic vitality to the historic commercial district. Today, more than $150 million in private investing is underway or planned in new construction. You know, the first phase of the park improvements totals nearly $11 million in construction. You know, this runs from Court Street to just past Carroll Street. And new elements to the park includes brick pedestrian paths, water features, planters with shade trees and plantings, pedestrian bridges, and a 350-seat amphitheater for outdoor performances. The final phase of construction was completed in May of 2016 with even more brick pedestrian paths, water features, bridges, seating, lighting, and this runs on East Patrick Street. I actually went to a wine festival on Carroll Creek there, and it was a lot of fun. Just a great atmosphere. You know, you're right by the water. You got the different bridges to connect you to the different sides of the walkway. So when we're talking walkability, is a prime example. So if you're ever in the Frederick, Maryland area, definitely give Carroll Creek Park a look.
Yeah, I was impressed that trail. It was a very walkability, but it was kind of the trail itself was the feature.
Right.
And it just went forever and ever, taking advantage of something that was already there. And you know, what I was thinking is that when you have walkability features, whether it be that or, you know, anywhere that has these features, it allows you to see areas of your town that you probably would never seen before if you were just driving.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, there was restaurants and shops along there as well, mm-hmm. that you cannot access from the street necessarily.
Yeah.
So you had to go through that walking path to get to them. So it's a very, very good point.
Yeah. Which brings us to where we are now with Hagerstown. We here have the Cultural Arts Trail, and this trail extends all the way from City Park down to the Washington County Arts and Entertainment District. And you know, the way this trail is designed, as we'll see throughout it, is that it takes in a lot of nice landscaping. You know, the trail takes you where you wanna go. There's seating, there's, you know, plants and trees, and then art along the way, such as the painting you can see behind us. Interesting work of art that took two guys about 15 days to do it, 150 gallons of paint.
Wow.
Just one feature of the trail that, like, wow, you know, and you could see that just from a lot of places and a long way off.
Yes, it's very impressive.
Yeah, yep. So, yeah, it's a really nice place since we've been doing this. In the little time we've been doing this, lots of people have been coming and going on the trail. Just, they look relaxed.
Yes, absolutely. Sean, did you know that there are 8 characteristics of walkability?
I didn't before. I do now.
You do now?
I do now.
Because you're going to be talking about some of them.
Yeah.
So the first one we want to tell you about is coherence. So this is a clear, understandable, and organized sidewalk, street, and land use system consistent with the scale and function of the surrounding urban context. The sidewalk and street, they should link points of interest and activity and provide clean lines of sight and travel to include instructive signage. Our cultural trail that we're here on right now, it's a very good example of linking points of interest. The walking trail links our nationally ranked top 10 city park to our downtown arts and entertainment district. And we also saw very similar linking with the Carroll Creek area and Baker Park. This links the local park to the downtown businesses of Frederick.
Yeah, and that ties in with the second element we're going to talk about with this continuity. So basically what you have, and this is true with the cultural trail here, it's kind of unified. You don't have to look ahead and wonder where you're going. It just kind of leads you where you need to be. And so we saw that in when we went to Frederick and Gaithersburg, and the sidewalks and the pedestrian paths, even where they cross the street, it's like not when you got to the street, you didn't have to know where to cross or where to go from there. So it really is a nice demonstration of understanding where you're going.
Right. Yeah, you just kind of know where you're at all times. Yeah. So when you hear equilibrium, you sometimes seem kind of like balance. You know, we think of balance. Well, that's exactly what it is when it comes to walkability. You want to have a balance among transportation modes that will accommodate pedestrian traffic. You know, this is seen well in the Rio Lakefront in Gaithersburg. We were able to drive to a location, park, and then visit all the storefronts that we wanted to. And we also saw this in the downtown Crown area. The side streets had parking near the businesses. They had a parking deck as well. And you could just walk the areas after you were done parking. It was very easy to find. And there was that nice balance or equilibrium to the walkability.
Yeah, absolutely. And another characteristic, and we talked about it earlier and even alluded to it, was the safety aspect.
Yeah, and this is a big one.
It is, it is. Especially you, not me so much anymore, but you got your little man.
Right.
You know, and that's your focus. Exactly. All you're thinking about is safety. So, you know, a lot of these areas that are for walkability, they are purposely planned and separated from traffic and other forms of transportation to create a safety element to that. So you basically have a separation between where you're walking and where cars and automobiles are moving. And they do that a number of ways. We saw that where we visited. It was obvious, like, for example, one of the areas we were in is that even where there were streets going through the walkable areas, they had landscape buffered areas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it was several feet between. And so you would follow the sidewalk, and even parking was separate from that. Mm-hmm. So it created that buffer there. And there, you know, there's other elements such as artwork, and there were benches, places you can sit, landscaping. So there are a number of ways that create these buffers to keep that safety element. And again, when we were walking in Frederick, you could easily, that was very, very noticeable. You could notice the difference between the areas that were planned for walkable areas and traditional sidewalks just by design. And then we could observe safety areas in the downtown Crown area as well. Those buffers again. And I appreciated too that even walking congestion was eliminated by how they were designed with the flow. You know, it was obvious you go this way, and not that you couldn't go, but you know, it's obvious they were trying to intend a certain flow.
Right. No, you bring up good points that I don't know if you were catching on here, but all of these characteristics kind of lead to the next one. So with safety comes comfort. You know, this deals with the secure and negotiable paving materials for individual and community interactions. You know, sidewalks should provide a variety of uses and activities for a diverse urban scene. And this is noticeable in the cultural trail here in Hagerstown. The pedestrian path is recognizable from the traditional sidewalk. You know, we continued to make the trail interactive by having interactive art along the way, which you may have seen in the background of the podcast so far.
Absolutely. And of course, we've been talking about walkability, not to say that it's exclusive to walking.
Correct.
Because those areas, when you're thinking about trails and walking areas, they need to be accessible to everyone. So that's another important characteristic or aspect is accessibility, meaning that these are made for people of all different circumstances. People are not so mobile. Maybe they're relying on motorized vehicles or wheelchairs to get around. And that was true with every place we visited, including Cultural Arts Trail. There's nothing that a person rolls up in a wheelchair or something and says, how do I get across? Even when we were in Rio, I think it was, there was an area where you went from one area to another and you had to cross a large body of water. Well, there was a bridge.
You're right.
You know, and it wasn't too steep of a grade. You know, it went easily manageable. So that's an important aspect. That goes definitely into the planning, is making these things that are enjoyable for people of all.
Right. As much as it was walkable, it was accessible as well.
Yep.
The next one is efficiency. You know, you want to make sure you have an efficient walking path. You know, this deals with the simplicity and cost effectiveness in design and function. As we mentioned earlier, that the Carroll Creek area began as a flood control project in the late 70s. This was an effort to remove that 100-year floodplain. And this was also used in downtown Crown. This was undeveloped land that could fully be planned to be the most cost-effective design. So, you know, a lot of times this is tax money that's being used, and we want to make sure that the citizens are getting the best value for their money. So being efficient is very important.
Absolutely. And of course, wherever you're walking, whether it's Gaithersburg or Hagerstown, you don't want it to be boring to look at.
No.
You want it to be attractive. So that's an important element that goes into design as well. Again, with the Cultural Arts Trail, there's a lot of different elements. Landscaping, you know, even the way the paths are designed with brick pavers, you know, it's mixed that way. The artwork through various artists. So, you know, you're walking, but then you're also enjoying your walk because it's an attractive area. And what that also includes is just keeping things neat and clean. Mm-hmm. You may have a walking trail or a walkability area, but if it's not looked after, it could start to kind of deteriorate. But what was very noticeable in the areas that we visited, that was not the case. You know, they were very well cared for. Landscaping was cared for, very, very clean along the public areas of the creek. Same way in Rio too. You know, just not only just the landscaping and the walkability, but the storefronts, all things were really, really enjoyable to look at, especially like us, or at least for me, it was the first time going through there. And it wasn't boring as well, because there were so many things that were interesting to look at.
Yeah. And I like that you brought up the cleanliness aspect of it. Like you said, everywhere we went was very clean. Our cultural trail now, I look around, I don't see a piece of litter at all. So, you know, that's a huge shout out to our public works department here within the city of Hagerstown and the citizens. You know, we rely on you to take care of your community, not only in the public parks, but outside your front door to keep the community clean. So we do value that. So those were the eight characteristics of walkability. And, you know, now we want to encourage you to go out into your community, find those walkable areas that you may not have noticed before. I promise you now, when you go out and take a walk, you're going to notice things a little differently if you've listened to the podcast this far. You're going to realize all the planning that goes into a walkable area. So, you know, and we highly recommend, if you're in the Gaithersburg area, check out those areas, the Kentlands, Rio, and the downtown Crown. If you go to Frederick, check out that Carroll Creek area that we were talking about. And if you do stop into Hagerstown, Maryland, come on by the Cultural Trail. You can't miss the big mural that we featured earlier. So we encourage you to get out there and take a walk. And while you're out and about, you might be listening to a podcast. You might be listening to us right now on your walk, and we do appreciate that. Make sure you do subscribe to the Hubbub Podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, mostly every podcast platform out there. Mm-hmm. If you'd rather see us, if you're not watching us right now and you like to see what we look like or see the beautiful scenery behind us right now, you can visit us on our Facebook page. You can search for us for the Hubbub Podcast, or our department page is the Planning and Code Administration. You can search for PCAD Hagerstown. It'll pop up on your Facebook there. We also are on Instagram, and we are also on YouTube. So pretty much no matter where you search for us, if you want to find the Hubbub Podcast, give us a search and we will be there for you. All right, now Sean's favorite part of the podcast is the weird news story. So this one, it's a little pandemic related. So, you know, lockdown rules, you know, they've been rather confusing, we'll say. We don't know what we're supposed to be doing at certain points. You know, we're just not sure sometimes. Mm-hmm. Well, in Spain, in the early days of the pandemic, it was forbidden to go out, even for a walk. You know, that is unless you were walking a dog. It led to people hiring out their dogs to exercise-deprived neighbors, and when all else failed, to people taking other animals on a stroll. Mm. It turns out the rules only applied to dogs, and police fined or warned people for walking a goat, a chicken, even a crab, believe it or not. Mm. And just to be clear, the Catalan police said the ban extends to canaries and Vietnamese pot-bellied pigs. So I guess in your area, before you go out for a walk, if you're under any type of lockdown, make sure you know what you can and cannot do, what pets you're allowed to walk, and all of that. So that's your weird news story for the month of September.
Interesting.
I knew you'd like that one.
Yeah, I'm just thinking how easily it could get confused on what you can walk and not.
Interesting.
Interesting. Yeah, well, thanks for sharing that. It is always a highlight for us. But anyway, so, you know, to conclude our podcast for today, it's really been a good topic. We look forward to next month's podcast as well. Another very, very important topic. We're kind of going to be back into what we normally talk about, things that are safety related. Mm-hmm. In fact, next month is Fire Prevention Month. So that's real important. And we've covered this before, but it's an important topic.
Yes.
And we're certainly going to cover it again. So we encourage everyone as much as possible to at least listen or even watch this podcast, because we're going to be focusing on fire safety features and means of egress, emergency escape windows, just lots of good suggestions that can help save a valuable life.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, then this brings us now to our musical guest for the month.
It's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Where do I start with this lady? Yeah. I mean, so impressive. Not that the ones we haven't featured are not. Everybody has their talents. But this lady is quite extraordinary. She's gotten around. She's a native of Australia, toured Europe and Thailand. She lived on the West Coast. You know, if you look at her bio, she has collaborated with countless artists and entertainment groups, even one, if you're of a certain generation, you may know and remember the Wiggles.
Mm.
She worked with that group.
That's very impressive.
Yeah, yeah. So quite the composer. Yeah, just an impressive number of things that she's been able to accomplish. Not only just, as I said, composing music, but a multi-talented, multi-instrument playing person, and very kind, I might add, just in corresponding with her.
That's great.
Yeah, been playing music since she was 10 years old.
Wow.
So, yeah, quite impressive. Of course, she has a website, AnitaThomas.com. You can find her on the social networks, Facebook. You can even find her music on SoundCloud. So, yeah, Anita Thomas, give her a listen. You know, it's different. It's classical type music and jazz and that kind of thing, but my, what a talented person. So we'll take out our podcast listening to Anita Thomas.